Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're so glad you're joining us today. Whether you join us live or later on our website or on Starcom Media Network a week later, whatever it is, we're just glad that you're listening. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and along with me today is Nan Watson in the studio in there. How you doing there, Nan?
I'm doing great, Pastor. How you doing?
Great. Looking forward to this show.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. It certainly is. God is really moving, isn't he?
Oh,
Cindy
yes.
From Indy will join us from Indiana in our second hour. And so we look forward to hearing from Cindy. And that's just kind of a new name for her, Nan, Cindy from Indy.
Cindy from Indy. I like that.
But it works well, don't you think?
I think it does.
It does. All right. So, yes, it's beautiful in Clearwater, Florida today. And I hope all of you are just enjoying a great day wherever you might be. And today we're talking about our series that we're on right now. And it is Fired Up with Purpose. This series is all about encouraging every single one of us to realize that we have a purpose that on this earth, that God has a plan for each of us. And because he has a plan, we need to find out what that plan is and get on board with his plan and his purpose for our lives. We often quote the verses from Jeremiah 29:11-14, which really this whole show is based on and has been for all these years, 8 years now, going into our ninth year. Jeremiah 29:11, for the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, to give you an inheritance, to give you hope, give you a future and a hope, it says. And, you know, so often we feel like we are just kind of a little speck on this planet that, you know, God's not sure what we're about or if he has a purpose for us. But he does, doesn't he, Nan? And we've got to grab a hold of that purpose.
He most certainly does. It's when we're, you know, this has been, I mean, I know that God has a purpose for my life. I
sure
know that, and he leads me, and you know that, and we have a lot of discussions about that. But it's interesting with this teaching how it brings a heightened new awareness that he does have a purpose.
Yes.
For Nan Watson.
That's right.
For Pastor Marcia McGowan. It is so
exactly
cool, you know, and
yes,
and to just become more enlightened is the word I used, and I'll use it again. Enlightened as far as he has this purpose, he has this plan. Like you just read from Jeremiah, he has a plan. And
absolutely,
I'm seeing some people at the church, the light bulbs are going off.
I'm seeing it too.
I can see
I'm
that.
I'm feeling
you know
it. Yes, as we teach on Friday nights at the gathering, I'm seeing it. I'm feeling it. It's pretty exciting, don't you think, Nan, that people are beginning to grab the hold of this concept?
It's awesome. It's just, it's like new. It's like it's a refreshing. It's fresh for them. I mean, I'm trying to think and compare it to something when you get new in your life.
Right.
A new outfit you get excited about. You know, a new restaurant you get excited about.
Right.
Well, this newness that God has a purpose and a plan for us, they're getting excited. I'm getting excited about it. I can see my brothers and sisters in the Lord getting excited about it. And it's great.
Well, it's because I think that so often the devil tries to come and tell us that we're so insignificant in the big picture of things where God is concerned, that we're nobodies, that we don't really have a real purpose here. We're just going through life trying to work hard at our jobs and have our families and all the stuff that we do. And so often I think the devil has really kind of put a, I don't know if it's kind of like a blinders on people, that they don't really see that they are here for much more than their daily activities that they do.
Absolutely. I mean, when you get it, you get it. And right. You move forward. And it's just so exciting to see what happens in you when you realize there really is this purpose for me.
Yes.
I'm here for a reason.
Amen.
You know, some people are like, well, what can I do for the Lord? But I don't have talents in this area. I can't play the guitar. I can't preach. God has a plan. And if you don't see that plan yet, do the things you see to do. Reach out to people. Call people. Text people. Facebook people. Write letters to people. That's a ministry within itself.
It certainly
is. It is so needed
so
in this day that people realize someone really cares about me. That can be a starting point for anybody.
Absolutely.
As they're seeking God. And God will open up the doors and make them realize what plan he has. And it's a stepping stones many times to other things he wants them to do. He has a plan. And we just need to follow that first step.
You know, it's so true. And this morning I had one of my grandsons on my heart really strong. And I am blessed to have 6 grandsons. I had to count them up in my head here real quick. I'm blessed to have 6 grandsons. And my oldest grandson is getting ready to graduate from high school. And it's so amazing when you have a life shift like that, and which he is getting ready to do. And he was so on my heart this morning. I sent him a long text about, you know, just trusting God, that we don't have to know every single step of the journey where we're going to be a week from now, a year from now. He's still, you know, uncertain what he's going to do with his future. You know, he's got a lot of options. He really does. He could go to any college he wants to, straight A's. It's just a matter of what he wants to do, you know, and he's kind of been stressing over it. And I think, Nan, a lot of us do that. We stress over, God, where am I going to be a year from now? God really purposely does not want us stressing over where we're going to be a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, or 45 years from now, or what job we're going to be. You know what I'm saying?
There again, what we've already been saying is one step at a time.
One step at a time.
I mean, some of the things that I do now, if you would have told me 5 years ago, I'd have been doing that. I said, what?
Right.
Really? Wow. You know,
that's
but,
right.
But he continues just to use us and mold us and make us. And,
right.
And you know, you're faithful over some things. He'll give you other things to be faithful for, because you proved your faithfulness in those things that maybe some people might say, well, that's not a big deal. What really is a big deal?
It is.
There's all kind of needs in the church, needs for the physical church, but building, I mean, from all kinds of stuff, this it's all important, and he
yes.
has a plan for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. So we encourage you to stay with us today. Last Sunday, it was just Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and I. It was Mother's Day, so we let all these mothers on our radio team take a day off, except for me. I did not. But the show was entitled One Foot in Front of the Other. And so that whole show, if you get a chance, go back and listen to it on the Tan Talk website here, on their podcasts under Living the Good Life from last week. And then at the end of each month, we put all of our shows on our website, bohmglobal.com. And we have like 350 shows on there. I mean, tons of them. So, but that one really was a good lead into what we're going to talk about today. One foot in front of the other. We're going to start out with a song that we sometimes even do at Beacon. It's by the artist Christian Stanfill, and it is called The Stand. And let's hear it.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stay. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my sin. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stay. And what could I say?
Praise God. I stand with arms lifted up to God Almighty. I love that song. Woo, Nan, it looks to me like you were writing on your notebook computer in there as I was in here in the control room. Did God give you a poem? Nan's our resident poet, and it just happens so much that it flows through her. And talk to us. What do you have, Nan?
This one is a very interesting point. I like them all that he gives, but I really, really, really like this one. It says, I do have a special plan for your life. Trust me and believe that it is so. I will do so much in your life, precious one, because I have everlasting love for you. Give yourself totally to me, trusting that I do have all things in control. You may not see the total picture, but I am truly making your life whole. My son gave his very life for you. Continue to be thankful. I do have a plan. Things will come together for you by the working of my mighty hands. I take delight in you, precious child. I see so many things that you do not see. Release all of your thoughts to me now so you can move forward and be all you can be. And that last verse,
wow,
I want to read that one again because that was powerful.
Yes.
I take delight in you, precious
yes.
child.
Yes, amen.
I see so many things that you do not see.
Mm.
This is what I like here. Release all of your thoughts to me now so you can move on to be all you can be.
Wow.
And you know, when he inspired that part, I'm like, that is cool, because so many times we're limited by what we think.
Right.
I can't do this. I can't do that. I've been wherever. I've been whatever. What has ever happened in your life? I came from this. I came from that. How can he use me? And you know, our own thoughts, and that's what really led me. This is exciting. Our own thoughts can interfere with the purpose
yes,
and the
can.
Plan that he has for us
yes.
because we limit
right.
ourselves and what he's trying to do in our life because we get bogged down in our own thoughts of,
we do.
I'm not capable of doing that. Well, you know what? God, it causes people to, when God causes, ask people to do things, he equips those
exactly.
whom he calls.
He certainly does. He does. He equips them and he says, hey, don't worry about it because I got it under control. And he'll give us the strength. He'll give us the stamina. He'll give us the courage. It's just a matter of putting our hands, just like that song, I'm standing. There was a line in that song that got to me. So I offer this heart to you, God, completely to you. That's what we have to do, Nan. We got to take a stand if we want to really find God's purpose for us. We got to take a stand that, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. You know, I can't figure it out. I don't know the future. I don't know how it's all going to sort out, but I trust in you. You know,
well, you know, it's interesting. I did want to tell you. Did you see me taking a picture of you?
Yes, oh, okay. I did. Let's explain. You're in the studio
oh, yes, okay.
behind glass.
Right.
I'm in the control room running the show from in here. I do that on Sundays for this show. And so I'm not right beside you, but I can see you through the glass
right.
and through the microphones and all that. Go ahead.
Well, I took the picture of you and I posted it on my Facebook page. I was going to post it. I was here getting ready to go with you and Cindy. And I thought, let me get a picture. And it's a cool picture because it shows all those CDs behind you, shows
yeah.
all the equipment in there, even shows this Bible right here. This and this,
right.
you know. So I
yeah,
posted
that's cool.
it on Facebook. But there again, that's part of the plan God has for your life, is to be on this radio show.
Absolutely.
And to host this every week in
yes.
and week out for
and I love it
seven,
with all
eight
my
years.
Heart.
You've done that. And that's part of the plan he has for you.
It is.
And you moved in the direction that he led you to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Radio is just such a part of me. I had a radio show in Indiana when I pastored up there, actually two of them on Sunday mornings, two different stations, a 30-minute show on two different stations. And that went on for 5 years. And so it was always in my heart that I wanted to do it again. And then God opened these doors for us here, Tan Talk 1340, back about 8 years ago. So we're in our ninth year here with them. And it's wonderful. So yes, dear friends out there, God has a purpose for you. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul wrote this book to Timothy, who was his beloved ambassador. He was like a student under Paul. And this is actually the last book of the Bible that Paul wrote. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, this being the last book right before he was beheaded. And so I think it's interesting that Paul gets a real grasp on this whole thing about purpose. And he's encouraging Timothy, his understudy, to realize that God's got a purpose for Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 2:11, Paul says, if we die with him, meaning Jesus, we'll live with him. And that song we just did really talks about dying to ourselves and taking a stand for what God wants us to do in our lives. And Paul says here, if we die with him, we'll live with him. So, you know, when we die to those things that would keep us from becoming everything God wants for us to become, then we really begin to live. It's kind of weird, but when we die, we begin to live. Dying to ourselves, that is, in our physical bodies. If we stick it out with him, we'll rule with him. Boy, if that isn't true. Dear ones, one of the most important attributes that God is looking for in his servants is people who will persevere, who will stick it out, who will go the distance, if you will, who will not give in when they're worn out or they're tired or they're sick, but will pursue the calling of God on their lives. And Paul says, if we stick it out with him, we'll rule with him. If we turn our backs on him, he'll turn his back on us. If we give up on him, he does not give up. For there's no way he can be false to himself. So Paul is saying, you know what? God's always going to be there with you. He's not going to leave you. But if you choose to turn your back and walk away from him, what can he do? You know, he can continue to pull you and draw you to himself. But this just illustrates one more time, God has given us free will. We can become everything God has ordained for us to become, or we can become nothing that God has ordained for us. You know what I mean, Nan?
We have a choice.
It's our choice, free will.
You know?
Yes.
And you can look at people around you who are serving the Lord.
Right.
And you can see some of them who made very wise choices.
Right.
And they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then there's those people who kind of do it sometimes, they kind of don't. They're kind of wishy-washy.
What? Yeah.
You know? And they're kind of there sometimes doing what they're supposed to be doing. Then you don't see them for a while.
Right.
You know, then they come back. And then there's those who just totally walk away.
Right.
And don't come back. And that's so sad. I mean, that's so sad.
It is.
God has a purpose for their life.
But, you know, I love the fact about God that he doesn't make us work for him. He doesn't make us live for him. None of it. It's not forced upon us. It's our choice. Mm-hmm. And let's go down to verse 14 of 2 Timothy 2, because we're talking here about being fired up with purpose. And we've talked a little bit in the last couple weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. If you missed some of those shows, go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and catch up. If they are during the month of May, then you'll have to get them off of the TANTALK1340.com website. Go to podcasts, Living the Good Life, until they're put at the end of the month on our website. But look at verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking. Now, I'm in the Message Bible, and I love the way the Message Bible says this, Nan, because it brings it right down to our everyday lives. So often we can be haughty, we can be nitpicking people piously, you know, kind of like arrogantly is what that's talking about. And it says this chips away at the faith. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God, work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. I love that sentence. We got to concentrate on doing our best for God. And this is work that we're not ashamed of. And it's just laying out the truth week after week, which we're doing on the show and in our Friday night gathering. This is all about laying out God's truth. Our symbol, or our slogan at Beacon of Hope, is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's not where we bring hurting, we bring healing. It's where the Word of God brings healing. Talk to me about this, Nan.
A scripture that the Lord just has been just, I don't want to say pounding, that's not the right word, but just bringing into my mind just daily for probably 2 weeks is, thy word have I hid in my heart.
Oh, that's so good.
That I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
And that has opened up
Psalms.
A whole new area.
Yeah.
And I'd like to read verse 15 of 2 Timothy 2, if I could, out of the King James.
Please this do.
This is how I learned it, and I love the way that it words it also. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
And, you know, when we hide the word of God
yes.
in our heart, something special really happens, because I start realizing certain, like when he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, I need to get that in my heart, that I don't sin against God. Now, how could I sin against God with that? What if I start worrying and fretting over
sure.
that? And get that really is kind of like a sin, because
right,
we're not
is.
Supposed to do those
we're
things.
We're not supposed
and
to.
And we don't, you know, and it's easy sometimes to slip into that, and it's not to minimize by any means issues that people face in life, certainly never to minimize that, but God can help them to get this word in their heart, because he has a purpose, and you can move much in a greater way in the purpose and plan that God has for your life when you're hiding his word in
oh,
your heart.
Absolutely.
When you're doing what he says to do, the purpose and the plan, it begins to unfold even in a greater way, because
oh,
you're not concentrating on that sister in the Lord that you're so upset at, or that brother who's treated you so meanly.
Right.
You know, brother and Lord treating you so meanly. You're not focusing on
right.
that. You're focusing on God.
Yes.
God has a plan and a purpose.
Ooh,
and
that's
you can
right
move
on.
Forward with that purpose when you're not dwelling on those other type of things in your life.
Absolutely. And I like, I memorized it that way in the King James too. Study to show yourself approved. And in the Message Bible, concentrate on doing your best for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in either way, study God's word. Study these truths. Don't just say, oh, that's just nice to hear, and never get it down on the inside of you. That's the verse you just quoted. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's something you do as an act of your will. You hide God's word down on the inside of you. How do you do that? You got to study it. You got to listen to it. You got to listen to sermons. You got to listen to radio shows. You got to quote the word yourself. You got to hide it down on the inside. And that's how you concentrate on the word, right?
Absolutely. It's interesting how much life-changing things can be for you in your life as you're doing that.
Yes.
In those difficult times. As you're doing that, your perseverance, you've already spoken about perseverance.
Yes.
Persevering in the Lord, persevering forward, because God has a purpose.
Amen.
And hiding his word, reading his word, as you has already said, going to church, listening to radio shows, listening to TV shows,
right.
Reading the word, going to church, going to Bible studies, all those type of things are tools.
Yes.
If we choose, we're back to that choice, if we choose to let that sink into us.
That's right.
Some people choose not to.
Right.
Because you mean that means I'm going to have to not be mad at my ex-husband like I was mad at him for many years? That's exactly what it means.
Right.
I can't move forward
it's time
in the
to
freedom
forgive.
Of the purpose
that's right.
that he has if I'm holding hatred
Amen.
Or bitterness towards
Amen.
Somebody. Woo!
And that kind of goes into the next sentence here in the Message Bible, and you can read it from the King James. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know. If they're not backed by a godly life, they accumulate as poison in the soul. And then Paul gives an example of two guys that were really part of the missionary work, but they deserted the team. And I'll never pronounce them correctly like Pastor Jim would, but Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples. They were throwing believers off stride and missing the truth by a mile by saying that the resurrection is over and done with. In other words, that Jesus had already come back, and too bad, all of you people, you're stuck here because Jesus came back and didn't take you. That's what these guys were doing. And it was undermining the faith of so many people. And we got to be careful what we listen to, man. We can get off track and get into craziness, you know. I've seen it through so many years. I've been in the ministry my whole life, growing up as a pastor, evangelist, and missionary's daughter, and then eventually going into the ministry myself. And I have seen so many religious people, quote unquote, get off track and get sidetracked into, well, everybody's got to wear a dress if you're a woman, or everybody, you can't play cards, or you know, on and on and on, and get into these crazy pious rules that don't change your heart, you know?
I was raised in by wonderful parents, but I was raised in a denomination who had a lot of rules.
Right.
And
I didn't say that for that reason, but I know you did.
I know you didn't. But the thing is, you know, we used to say if you spend all your time, I can't remember how we actually said it. My husband and I used to talk about, if you spend all your time, if you spend the time doing the do's, you won't have time to do the don'ts. But what happens, you need to dwell upon what those good things are
yes.
to be done. And,
yes.
you know, all the rest of that will fall in line, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the Lord convicts you and tells you don't do this or don't do that, absolutely, you better obey that.
Right.
You know, but as far as to have a set rules, people sometimes focus so much on those, the do's and the don'ts, that they don't spend time sharing how God has a purpose for their life.
Oh, absolutely. And these two guys that deserted Paul, Hymenaeus and Philetus, these guys were trying, really, it looks to me like, to discourage the whole group of people from really walking in faith, because they were saying, oh, Jesus already came back and you were not a part of it. You missed it.
That's kind of like the saying that one bad apple spoils the bunch. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, I've had a situation where I left some fruit too long in my refrigerator. One would start going bad.
Yes.
And the next thing, all of them were in pretty bad shape.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the way it is, like these two guys were doing, that they were tempting to speak negatively against the ministry.
Yes.
And in an effect, to try to affect the people who were moving forward with
right. him. Oh, I know. And that is just so common, that people in their own, you know, in their own desire to, you know, do their own thing. A lot of times they want to bring everybody else in with them. You know what I'm saying? And get them discouraged. I mean, it's a common thing. The devil uses people to discourage people from finding their purpose. That's what I'm trying to say.
And that was said very good.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
All right. In verse 19, Paul says this, "Meanwhile, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever. These sentences engraved on the stones." And here's what it says. God knows who belongs to him. God knows who belongs to him. Spurn evil, all you who name God as God. Spurn evil. God knows who belongs to him. Spurn evil, all you who name God as God. In other words, you know, do your best to stay out of all this evil and yucky stuff. If you're naming God as your God, be careful what you say. It's like we used to hear in daily vacation Bible school years ago and all that in Sunday school, you know, everybody's watching you. Mm-hmm. Be careful how you behave, you know? Talk to me about that.
Our behavior is something that we need. If people know that we claim Christianity, they're going to look and expect to see something different in our lives.
Right.
They don't expect to see us behaving in an aggressive manner in certain situations or totally losing it in a store because the sales clerk didn't do something properly. You know, there's ways of handling things that you don't have to go batty, go crazy about it. That gives, you know, I was joking with someone, I was somewhere with a group of you, or I don't remember that. I just faintly remember saying, joking, well, and I really need to behave myself because I'm wearing a church
shirt. Oh, yes, you did say that recently.
But the
yes,
thing
I
it
did.
Is, it's like we really should, we should walk around, we should go around and we should act. Our behavior should be that if we had a Bible in our hand or church
right.
T-shirt on, that we wouldn't be embarrassed to have those things on, that we could still be a witness after dealing with situations.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Yeah. So it's just very important that if we're going to accomplish the purpose that God has for us, we have got to concentrate every day and watch our behavior. Other people are watching us, Nan, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Someone said to me, I don't remember who it was or something, but they said, "We know you're a woman of faith."
Right.
It's like, okay, I really had never said anything to them, but they know. And they're
right.
watching, you know,
yeah.
they watch how you behave,
right?
You know, I'm at under a lot of extreme pressure at work right now, just because of the time it is at the end of the school year. And it's that way. And I'm praying, God, just help me to maintain still a pleasant attitude with everybody.
Exactly.
Because they know me as a Christian.
Exactly.
Let them continue to know me as a Christian, walk in the way I'm supposed to walk.
Amen. Amen.
During this time.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I have prayed. God, just help me. And he
Amen.
Will help us. He will help us in our situations.
As we're talking here, our producer of the show, Big Ed, is texting me or emailing me. I guess it is here. Big Ed, I got it. I know what to do here. So I'm supposed to respond, and I do. I read it, and I'll do it. So, okay. Anyway, so in accomplishing our purpose, Nan, there are so many times that we just get caught up in accumulating on the inside of us bitterness, unforgiveness, things. You know, we kind of touched on this last week, and we really touched on it in our Friday gathering, which was a week ago Friday night, when we talked about become the crystal goblet, not mm-hmm. the garbage container. I want you to read, because it's familiar to a lot of people, verses 20 to 21 in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in your King James, and then we're going to talk about that.
"But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work."
Okay, so we have choices of what kind of a container we are, okay? If we're going to accomplish God's purpose in our lives, we have to realize that there are some things required of us, and that is to be sure that we are the kind of container that holds the presence of God in such a profound way that people's lives are affected for the good, right. You know? And so often we are not that. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible, and then we're going to talk about it before we get to the next song. In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets, and I just like that, the way the Message Bible does this, and silver platters. So crystal goblets, silver platters, that, I don't know about you, but I've got some beautiful crystal at home that I got in my wedding many, many years ago. Got some silver platters. Boy, they're pretty, you know. Got some of that nice looking stuff, you know. But he says, in a kitchen, there's not just that. There's waste cans and compost buckets. In other words, garbage containers, okay? And he says, some of these containers are used to serve fine meals. Now, you would not serve a fine meal in a garbage container, right?
Right.
Nor would you put garbage and trash in a
goblet. Silver
in a crystal goblet.
Crystal goblet.
All right. So the garbage containers are to do that very thing. Take out the garbage. Okay. And I love this last sentence in the Message Bible. And I'm in verse 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Become. I wrote that on the board the other night. Become the kind of container that God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. Woo! Become. I love that because God doesn't expect us to be perfect when we get saved and ask Jesus into our hearts, does he, Nan?
Thank goodness. You know, I was just thinking a visual just came to mind about garbage. Garbage tries to come our way by,
sure does.
By, you know, bitterness, anger, hatred, those type of things. Garbage tries to come our way, but we have to take it out and put it in the garbage can.
Right.
And what the visual that came to my mind is every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, I take the garbage can out so that it can be emptied at the street the next morning.
I do it on Monday night and
okay.
Thursday night.
There you
and
go.
Yeah, we got
to
do that.
That's what we have to do spiritually. If we start to see some of that stuff, it does not belong in us, the crystal goblet. It belongs
right.
out in the garbage can. And that's where we need to let that stuff be.
And we got to be specific about what we're talking about, because if we are going to become fired up with purpose, we have to realize that what we are walking around with on the inside of us is not just a bunch of parts, like a heart and a liver and a pancreas and a stomach, a gallbladder, intestines, all of those things. That's not all we have. That's in our physical body. But in our soul level, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. When you get saved and ask Jesus to come into your heart, what you're asking him to do is to come into your spirit level. If you die tonight, you're going to heaven, your spirit is going to be released to heaven, to Jesus. Your spirit is the real you, okay? Now, your soul level, boy, that's your personality, that's your mind, that's your will, that's your emotions. That's all the stuff that's ever happened to you, because the soul level contains your mind, and you remember all the things that's ever happened mm-hmm. to you. The soul level is your emotions. You remember mm-hmm. how you felt when so-and-so mm-hmm. cheated on you, or mm-hmm. when somebody said awful things to you, when somebody left you, deserted you, called you names. You remember those incidents, okay, in your soul level, all right? Your physical body is what I just talked about, your organs, your heart, your stomach, all those things. That's your body, your spirit, soul, and body. Now, the word says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And if you can just picture this, audience, I love this. When you were saved, your spirit man, your heart was saved when you asked Jesus to come in and live on the inside of you. You are being saved on a daily basis in your soul level, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. Mm-hmm. In other words, God is not finished with me yet. he's still working on me. He's cleaning up the goblet, the crystal goblet, and getting the garbage out, right? And so we are in the process of being saved. That's our soul level, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our physical body will be saved. That's the will be saved when we go to heaven and live with Jesus and have our resurrection body, resurrected body like Jesus had for the last 40 days he was on this earth. He had that body that was amazing, you know, went through walls and all that kind of stuff. It's totally amazing to me, the resurrected body, how that's going to be. So we were saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. Spirit, soul, and body. Does that help you understand all this? Sure does me.
Oh, most definitely. Yes, we've studied on that in the past, and it was very enlightening to be able to understand that.
Yeah. And so here we are realizing that if we're going to become the vessels that God wants to use, there's a responsibility on our part to continue the process of being saved.
Well, that goes back into behaviors and attitudes.
Ooh, doesn't it?
You know, behaviors and attitudes and how we need to behave in such a way, to be that crystal goblet that he desires us and that we should desire for us to be, too. We need to have desire. If we don't have the desire, that's when we get off into all these other things and these other attributes and behaviors come out because well, I don't really care. And that's a terrible way to be. That's a terrible way to live. It's so much better living towards being that silver goblet and being that beautiful piece of pottery that's a piece of pottery in a different type of sense.
Right.
You know, it's not clay. It is crystal.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
And, you know, that's that we need to strive to be that.
So we're the container. Okay, we contain the presence of God in our lives because we've invited him in. He does not go anywhere. He's not invited, which I find very interesting about God with the free will thing. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever
believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
So there's a responsibility on us. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we'll be saved. Okay. When we acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah and that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and we say it with our mouth. So we have some responsibility here in the being saved process. When we were saved by just accepting Jesus in our heart, yes, that took some of our responsibility too. We had to say, yes, come into my heart, Jesus. I want you to live in me. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, died on the cross for me. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. We do our part there. God instantaneously saves us in our spirit man. The process in our soul level is where we get into trouble. And where it's hard to really understand sometimes for people that God is still working on me. There was an old song we used to sing. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I don't remember the rest of the words, but God's still working on me. And he is, right?
He is. He's still working on all of us.
All right, let's hear this song by the same, it's called The Same God by New Song, and then we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the song with Nan.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why, it's like the world against you. A day when your faith couldn't be held down. God was
Same God who led you.
Yeah, he's with you now.
He's with you now. Woo, I love some of those words there. He'll lead you to lay down your fear and doubt. Oh, the same God who was with you then is with you now. And so often we get so busy in life, we forget that it's the same God that saved our soul, who saved our spirit, who came into our heart so long ago. He's still with us. He's never left us. Do you have something, Ann?
I do. I am the same God now that I was then. Do you believe that deep within? I will keep you safe and guide you. I am still there, just as I have always been. You may not see the reasons for some things, but I know the best. I am molding you. Will you allow me to do the work within so that you can do all that you can do? I will continue to use you in ministry. Trust me, I have all things in control. Believe that I am there 100% of the time. I am molding you and making you whole.
Oh, praise God. It's just a matter of allowing him to do this. And one of the things that we are learning for him making us and molding us into the person and the person that can reach out to so many is we got to be cleaned up, all this junk. We don't want to be a garbage container. We No. want to be a crystal goblet.
Absolutely.
And so if we're carrying around a lot of junk, God says, hey, it's time to deal with it. You can text right here to my phone, and I'm right in here in the control room in the studio. This is live here in the Tampa Bay area, and the call-in or text, not call-in, text number is 727-888-4171, and you can get involved in the show and text if you have a question or if you have a comment during this show. We've got another hour plus 10 minutes here yet. So that phone number, you can write it somewhere, is 727-888-4171. And it's actually just an email and text number, 727-888-4171, if you want to get involved. So in verse 22 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, well, let's start with verse 21 one more time. That is just bears repeating. And by the way, that was a great poem, Nan, that God just gave you. Really, really insightful. In verse 21 in the Message Bible, and you can read that verse for us in the King James. In the Message, it says, become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. We are to become containers of God's blessings for others. What does that verse say in the King James?
21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Oh, praise God. That's the same thing. It's just the Message Bible puts it in our modern day language. In other words, if we cleanse ourselves from the crud in our lives, from the things that are holding us back, from the things that are old grudges, old hatreds maybe, old habits that are not pleasing to God. You know, that's our responsibility, Nan. We don't have a choice in this, do we? If we're going to be useful. And that's what Paul says here. If you're going to be useful, you got to clean up.
Yeah, if we choose to be useful, then we're back to the choice. We seem to be talking about choice a lot
so
today.
So true.
If we choose to be useful, absolutely.
Yes. And if we do, we've got some responsibility here. In verse 22, run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Where are you in that in verse 22 in the King James? Let's try that and see what it says.
Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Okay.
Sounds like you're supposed to hang out with people who...
It does, doesn't it? You want to comment on that?
Well, if you hang out with... You need to watch who you hang out with.
Yeah, you do.
You know, even in ministry, you need to watch who you let in your inner circle. Even
sure.
in ministry, you
sure.
have to be careful
yeah.
about that, because there's some people that are there not with a pure heart, as this was talking here about being in a pure heart, but they're there for alternate reasons. But we need to be mindful of who we hang out with. You know, what they used to tell us when we're a child, to be careful who you hang out with, you'll become like that.
That's right.
And, you know, if you hang... I don't like to hang around people who are negative and choose
oh,
not
I don't
to.
Either.
I will Ugh. Not. I have, you know, I'm around negativity at my office and you can't help that.
Right.
But I can help if I want to go on a break with one of those negative people.
Right.
Or do I choose to go on break with someone who's upbeat? There's three of us secretaries right in that same area, and God
right.
brought those other two in there. I know that. We kind of like have a blast in the midst of all of our stuff.
Right.
We encourage each other. We give each other scriptures. That is the type of people I like to hang around, not
oh,
the people who are
great.
Negative all the time.
Right.
I don't need negativity. There's enough negativity of issues that we have to face and deal with that we should not put ourselves in situations on purpose when we could avoid that negativity.
Absolutely.
I mean, now some people might be living in an environment of negativity. They can't change that.
Right.
They have to help pray to the Lord to help them within. You know, but when they have a choice, it's best not to choose that. We need to choose people of faith.
Absolutely. And I love the way Paul says this here. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. And that goes along with your point, Nan, that so often we get ourselves... obligated, maybe, is the word for it, with family, with friends, with work situations where we just feel like we got to hear somebody out and allow them to, you know, express their negativity. But you're just saying there are times that we can take a stand and say, wait a minute, you know, I don't need to listen to this. I'm going to walk away gracefully, or I'm going to say, I've got to go. I got something else. Instead of allowing yourself to hear all that negativity.
Well, that reminds me of a personal metaphor here we can use. I have a 90-year-old aunt.
Yes.
I call her every weekday morning and many times on the weekend also. And I've been doing this for probably 3 or 4 years now, calling her every morning. And sometimes we have nothing to say. And we both just say, oh, I have nothing. And she'll say, I have nothing. We'll say, love you. Bye. And it'd be a whole minute conversation, but I'm calling her because she doesn't have a lot in her life. She can't
right,
drive.
Sure.
She's blind. There's a lot of issues. Well, she got on a tangent about something the other day, and I listened to her, and she was talking about families aren't the way they used to be. We used to be on the farm. We used to do things together. I said, yes, you're absolutely right, but we're in a different age now. People would go to other places to live, to have jobs, and blah, blah. You're right. I agree with you. But she started with, I hope I don't upset you. I hope I don't offend you. And I agreed with her. You don't offend me. I agree with you. It's
sure.
just different, but this is the society we have. After 3 times of hearing the same thing, I got tired of it. So I nicely said, and there's a reason I'm saying this, I nicely said, I really wish you would quit saying that because you've already said it 3 times.
Right.
Well, you don't have to talk to me that way. Bye. And hung up on me. And I was like, okay, what did you say? And so what, and I'm saying that to say this, sometimes in our lives,
right.
we do have to draw a line.
Right.
And you have to stand behind that line that you have drawn. And it may make you sometimes not popular.
Right.
You may lose a friend over it. You hate to lose friends, but if that friend is someone who is negative and dragging you down, honestly, buddy, you really don't need that person
right.
in your life.
Yeah. That's right. And really, what Paul is saying here, and thank you for that example, is that we need to be pursuing faith, love, peace. Okay, you know, when we are around people that are extremely negative and, let's say, fearful and worried and upset and angry and hateful and chaotic and full of drama, I just said all the opposite things of faith, love, and peace on purpose, because so that our audience can realize that it drags you down. It's never good for you. It can upset your whole life and your whole, you know, the peace that you had before you made the phone call or before right. you ran into, you know, so-and-so that drug you down. We've got to guard that peace within us.
Ooh, I just thought something. It's my mom's sister.
Okay.
So I'm sharing this story with my mom. And you know, my aunt is getting a little bit forgetful and there's issues there. And my mom's like, if I were you, I would not call her every day. You know, just, you know, and my mom's right. I mean, I call her every day and I have yeah. peace driving all the way. I drive 45 minutes to get to work and I have peace going in and work. Then I call her right before I go to work and then boom, I'm hit with that. And normally Whoa. That doesn't happen. But we need to be mindful, be careful
yes.
when we do what. You know, I may have to reevaluate when I call her now because
right.
I don't need negativity starting my day before
That's
I walk
right.
into what is often at this point a chaotic situation at work. I don't need any more of that in my personal life.
Amen.
You know, just deal with it at the office.
But, so we got to guard all these things. If we are going to be fired up with purpose, we got it. These are ingredients. Today we're talking about things that we've got to do. We got to get cleaned up. On the inside, we let go of the angers, the bitterness, the hatred, the things that have drug us down. We've got to guard the faith and the love and the peace. And we'll talk more about this in our second hour. And before we get to the top of the hour here, Nan, there's just so many times that people need to hear more word than they're getting. And if they're in the Tampa Bay area, we invite them to come to our Friday night gathering, don't we?
Oh, yes. We have a blast. You can bring your dinner. I do many times.
Yeah.
Have tables set up in the Bibles, this interactive Bible study, and we're studying on this same topic, fired up with purpose. And it's just a great time of being able to ask questions, make comments.
Sure.
You know, it's just a really open time of your sharing the word and the Lord using you to minister to us.
Yes. So we welcome you. We meet currently at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida, and that is at the Ramada Inn. We have our own room there in the front right corner, separate entrance of that hotel, and it's very nice. And we welcome you at 6:30 on Friday nights to join us for the Friday gathering. We do some praise and worship, and we get in the word. We pray for people's needs, and everyone is welcome. We have a prayer line, and it is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty up in Indiana and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, are the ones that man that prayer line. It's busy. It has a lot of people using it, people we don't know, some people we know, some people we don't. We welcome you to use it. Why would they want to use that, Nan?
I have unified prayer of a situation that you're dealing with, and you can see Lord move through that. And we've seen many, many, many. All things that come across that line are big.
Right.
But in the eyes of man, we have seen some really big things.
Where
God, in cancer situations, all kind of stuff, where God right. has moved as a result of that unified prayer of all the people pray.
So jot that number down, that email address, and use it. prayers@bohm, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. So it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Use the prayer line. Our website, which will tell you all about us, we've been in operation 14 years. Let's see, 01. Okay, we are almost having our 14th anniversary. Here we are. Yeah, 14th year. And so go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Easy to remember, bohmglobal.com. You can reach me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So if any of you want to give financially, we don't say much about money, never have. We've never begged for money. We're not a ministry that does that. But you can support this show and our Thursday night show, which is a life coaching show, Go Yard, Thursday nights at 6:06 on this station. You can support the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries by going to our homepage, go down to the bottom, hit donations. And then it'll open a page where you can use PayPal and you can give financially, planting tithes and offerings into the work of the Lord which is a wonderful thing that we have the privilege to do that. I love to give to the Lord, and I know you do too, Nan. Yes. And so we welcome any of you to support this radio ministry by going to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage, hit donations, and then PayPal. And we will be right back. We got to do station ID here.
WTAN, Clearwater.